Reading today from the book of Romans, chapter 8. If you'd like to follow in your Bibles, you open it, please, to Romans, the 8th chapter, and I'll read verses 28 through 31. Now, my subject is entitled Four Important Questions. And I want you to listen carefully to this message today. It may be what you call controversial. It may be, to a certain degree, divisive, but I'm going to preach it. Four important questions. Now, Romans 8, 29, Paul is writing here to the church at Rome, and he says, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He, that is God, for whom God did foreknow, God also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them God also called, and whom He, God, called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now, what shall we say to these things? And Paul replies, well, if God foreknew us and predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son and justified us and called us and glorified us in Christ, if God be on our side, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Now, most of today's preachers and churches positively declare four things. Now, you listen to these four things, and you see if I'm not telling the truth. Most churches and most preachers, all that I hear on television and radio and other places, declare and agree on these four things. They're all in agreement on these four things. Now you listen. First of all, most all preachers and most all churches declare that God loves all people the same without exception. Is that not true? Is that not what most people preach? God Almighty, the eternal God of heaven and earth, He loves everybody in all the world the same without exception. He loves everybody. And the verse of Scripture which they use to teach this mainly is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But that's generally what most everybody believes and teaches. God Almighty, He loves everybody the same. Peter and Judas and Mary and Jezebel and everybody the same. Those in heaven, those in hell. God's in love with everybody. The second thing that all of them, just about all of them, preach and agree on is God Almighty, the God of heaven and earth, wills or desires or wants the salvation of everybody without exception. God wills to save everybody. He wants to save everybody in this world without exception. And one of the verses they use for this is, God is not willing that any should perish, from 2 Peter. And also a verse of Scripture which says over in 1 Timothy, He said, who will have all men to be saved. And then the third thing that practically every preacher and every church in all the United States preach and agree on is Jesus Christ died for everybody. He died for all men without exception. His blood was shed for all men. His blood atoned for all our race. And a key verse they use here is 1 John 2. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Seems to indicate that, doesn't it? That Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He died for everybody, shed His blood for everybody. He atoned for everybody's sins. He paid everybody's sin debt. And then the fourth thing. They teach that the Holy Spirit of the living God, here you have the Father loves all men, wills the salvation of all men. Christ died for all men without exception. And the Holy Spirit strives with and calls all men to salvation without exception. That the Holy Spirit knocks at every heart's door. He tries to get everybody to be saved. He warns and witnesses and calls to and calls all men. Now, if this be true, I want you to listen. I have four questions for thoughtful people. I got me a good lawyer listening to me this morning. I want you to listen and see if this can be in agreement. Or a school teacher or somebody that does some thinking and some teaching. You listen carefully to me. Now, if these things be true, if this be true, what we're hearing preached, that God Almighty loves everybody the same without exception, that God Almighty, the Almighty God of heaven and earth, wills and desires the salvation of every son of Adam, that Christ Jesus died and shed His blood and paid for the sins of every son of Adam, every human being, and that the Holy Spirit tries His best to save everybody, then I have four questions for thoughtful people. Somebody that'll won't be just led around by the nose or believe everything that anybody tells them, but will give some serious thought to these questions that arise from this kind of theology. Now, this is a brand of theology. It's an American, Arminian, semi-Pelagian brand of theology. Now, here's my first question. If these things be true, if God loves all men the same, without exception, if God Almighty loves every human being the same, without exception, then what does the love of God have to do with a person's salvation? Absolutely nothing. If God loves all men the same, and all men are not saved, then His love has no power to save. His love makes no distinction, and His love has no part in our salvation. If He loves Peter and Judas both the same, and Peter went to heaven, Judas went to hell, His love had nothing to do with either. His love couldn't prevent the destruction of Judas and couldn't save Peter. His love had nothing to do with it. If a person goes to heaven, he cannot say, "I'm here because God loved me," for there are people in hell whom God loved. And how do you know that you won't go to hell? You say God loves you? Well, if God loves everybody in hell, you may wind up there too. So if God loves everybody the same, then what does the love of God have to do with the salvation of a sinner? Nothing. And let me ask you this, secondly. If Almighty God wills and desires the salvation of all men, that's what He wills, then what does the will of God have to do with one's salvation? Absolutely nothing. If the Almighty God wants to save a person and wills to save a person and wishes to save a person, yet that person is not saved, then the will of God has no power. God's will has no authority. God's will have no part in salvation. There's no need to pray, "Thy will be done," because it's not going to be done. There's no need to ask God, "Thy will be done." What's the use praying that? His will not be done. He willed to save people in hell and couldn't get the job done. So His will has nothing to do with salvation at all, because He willed to save them and couldn't. That's what I hear preachers say. God wants to save you. He wills to save you, but you won't let Him. Then the power is in the creature, not in His God. Now the third question, and listen to it. If Jesus Christ died on the cross to save all men, without exception, and His blood, Jesus Christ actually, in fact, shed His blood for the sins of all men, then I ask you, what does the death of Christ, what does the blood of Christ have to do with a man's salvation? Absolutely nothing. God loved him, and God willed to save him, and Christ died for him, and he still perished. Then what does it have to do with our salvation? If men perish for whom Christ died, then His death has no power to save. If men go to hell for whom Christ shed His blood, then His blood has no power to cleanse, no power to sanctify, and no power to justify. And the people in heaven who are singing that song, "Unto Him who loved us," well, what are you singing that for? There's people in hell whom He loved, they tell me. Why are you giving glory to Him who loved you? "Unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." That's foolishness. Because He loved everybody. And His blood was shed for everybody. And He died for everybody. And He willed to save everybody. But He couldn't save them. So God failed. God failed according to the day's theology. He washed people in hell from their sins. Just exactly as He washed people in heaven. And that was all to no avail. My friend, this is confusing. And you have people who say that preachers confuse them. Of course they confuse them. They preach one thing out this side of their mouth and one thing out of the other side. They say God's almighty, and then they say He can't do what He wills to do. They say Christ died for our sin, turn right around and say He died for everybody's sin. God loves this man, God loves Jacob, and He loves Esau too. That's not what the Scripture says. Here's the fourth question. Now listen to me. Question number four. If the Holy Spirit strives with all men and calls all men and tries to save all men without exception, then what does the Holy Spirit have to do with salvation? People say they're regenerated by the Spirit and called by the Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Why, absolutely nothing, because He tries to do that for everybody and they won't let Him. If God convicts all, the Spirit convicts all, regenerates all, and calls all, then salvation not by the Holy Spirit or by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's by the will and works and merit of the sinner. Now that's true. If God loves all the same without exception, if God wills the salvation of all men without exception, if Christ died for all men without exception, if the Holy Ghost calls all men without exception, then the Holy Trinity has no power to save, no real part in the salvation of sinners, and the Scripture which says salvation is of the Lord is just not so. Salvation is of man. That's what's being preached. The Scripture which declares the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's not so. It may cleanse you and it may not cleanse you. It all depends on what you do about it. You see how inconsistent this is? This type of preaching is totally inconsistent with the Scriptures, with logic, and with reason, and with justice. It's no wonder that most people are confused and many people won't even go to church, because the preaching is so inconsistent. Now, I'm going to declare unto you what the Scripture says about the love of God, what the Scripture says about the will of God, what the Scripture says about the blood of Christ, and what the Scripture says about the power, the irresistible, invincible power of God's Holy Spirit. Now, the love of God is the very foundation of our salvation. The Scripture says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, He loved us." John is writing to the church. John is writing to believers. John's not writing to pagans and heathens and unbelievers and the whole world. He's writing to the church. And he said, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." We love Him because He first loved us. Our love is a response to His love. He said, "I have drawn you with an everlasting love." But the love of God, my friend, is in Christ Jesus. And His love is upon those given to Christ and those in Christ and those who believe His word, His sheep, His elect, His church, His jewels, His brethren. He calls them by many names. In fact, in Matthew 7, He tells about the judgment, and He says that He's going to say to many people, "I never knew you." How could He love somebody He doesn't know? "I never knew you. I never loved you. I never set my affection upon you. You were never mine." That's what the Scripture did. John 3:36, listen to this. "He that believeth on the Son, he hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the what? The wrath of God abideth on him." We don't ever hear that mentioned. The wrath of God. Is there no wrath with God? Then how do you account for the flood? Is there no wrath with God? Then how do you account for the destruction of Sodom? Was that an act of love? As an act of judgment and wrath. If there's no wrath with God, how do you account for the Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah? How do you account for the destruction of the Amalekites and Jericho and all these heathen cities as Israel ran them over and conquered them and destroyed every living thing? That's judgment from an angry God. Jacob have a love. Jacob was in the covenant. Jacob was in Christ. Jacob was his elect. Jacob have a love. Esau, God said, I've hated. Psalm 5:5 says, God hateth all workers of iniquity. Psalm 7:11 says, God's angry with the wicked every day. So he that believeth on the Son, he hath life and love and peace. And he that believeth not the Son, the wrath of God. Don't tell people God Almighty loved Jezebel. He condemned her to everlasting destruction. Don't tell people God Almighty loves unbelievers. He loves those in Christ. That's where his love is. Romans 8:38 and 39 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's just true. There's no one in hell whom God loves. What kind of love is that? If you look at me and say, God loves you, but you're going to hell, I'd say, I'd just assume he didn't love me then. Because that's a strange expression of love. If one of your children asked for bread, would you give him a stone? If one of them asked for meat, would you give him a scorpion? Well, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your own, whom you love, how shall not the heavenly Father give good things to them whom he loves? God's love's in Christ. And all whom he loves will be in glory. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. All right, the love of God's the foundation of our salvation. The will of God is the cause of our salvation. The will of God. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. And God said, Moses, this is my glory, my goodness. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I tell you, if God wills a man's salvation, that man will be saved. God willed the salvation of Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God willed Abraham to come out of idolatry, and he came out. Our Lord Jesus Christ willed Zacchaeus to come out of that tree, and he came down. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. I tell you, if salvation were left to your will, you'd never be saved, or my will, or anybody else's will, because the will of man is in bondage to sin. Our Lord said, you will not come to me that you might have life. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. God rules in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth and giveth it to whomsoever he will. He worketh all things, Paul said in Ephesians 1. Two or three times he said this. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I tell you, there can't be but one sovereign will, one free will, one dominating will in this universe, and that's God's will. And he'll make us willing in the day of his power. No man can come to me, Christ said, except my Father which sent me draw him. In John chapter 1, it says, we who receive Christ, we were born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. We were born of God. Listen to the shepherd. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. How's this going to be? God willed it. God willed it. As many as were ordained to eternal life believe. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 6:37, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, as the mediator, as the Messiah, as the Christ. I came to do the will of my Father that sent me. And this is my Father's will, that of all which he had given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. This is my Father's will. You mean to tell me that God wills the salvation of every human being? I'll tell you, if he does, then there's universal salvation. Then everybody's going to be in heaven. God's will shall be done. I guarantee you that. He will have his way. His will shall, thy will be done. That's what our Lord taught us to pray. If you ask anything, he said, according to God's will, it shall be done. The love of God's the foundation of our salvation. The will of God is the cause of our salvation. The blood of Christ, it was not shed in vain. He did not fail. He'll see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. The blood of Christ is the one sacrifice. It is the one sin offering. It is the one atonement. It is the sole reason for your justification. Not the blood of Christ plus your faith. Not the blood of Christ plus your works. Not the blood of Christ plus your decision. It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And he didn't fail. He accomplished an atonement that atones. He purchased a redemption that redeems. He accomplished a salvation that saves. We are loved in Christ, chosen in Christ, redeemed in Christ, accepted in Christ, and my friends, we'll be glorified in Christ. Our Lord did not shed his blood for those in hell or those who were on their road to hell. He died like the high priest of old. When the high priest of old went into the Holy of Holies, there was one ark and one mercy seat and one atonement, and it was for Israel. And he had on his breastplate the names of the tribes of Israel. And that high priest made atonement and sacrifice for God's people. And when Christ went to the cross, he shed his blood for God's people from every generation, every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every kindred on the face of this earth. Where God has a people, the blood of Christ atones. Down there in Egypt, where was the blood? It's on the door and the lintel of the people of Israel. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And everywhere God saw the blood, that night, that dark, terrible night of death, he passed over. And I'll tell you this, everywhere he sees the blood now, where the blood of Christ is there by God's grace and there by faith and there through belief, God will pass over. And where there's no blood, there's no justification. His blood maketh atonement for the soul. Why did Christ die on the cross? Well, he died to enable God to be just and justifier. Why did Christ die on the cross? Peter said he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Literally, bring us to God. Well, when he died, did he bring everybody to God? The scripture says he died to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Did he put away sin? Well, what? Did he put away sin? He died to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. By himself, he purged our sin. Did he or didn't he? If he did that for every human being, then there's universal salvation. Every human being will be saved. But if he did it for the believer, for those who rest in Christ, then they're the ones who are going to be saved. God's love and God's will and Christ's blood are in perfect harmony. Whom the Father chose, the Son redeemed, and the Holy Spirit calls. Why did Christ die? He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And everybody for whom he was made sin, everybody for whom he was made sin will be made the righteousness of God. Every sin he paid for is paid for. Every debt he paid is paid. Every heart he cleansed is cleansed by one offering. He hath perfected. My friends, what is perfect? Perfect is perfect. perfect, has no lack, when by one offering he perfected forever them that are sanctified. I lay down my life, he said, for my sheep. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. By his stripes we are healed. Is that true or not true? Well, perhaps. Maybe. It's just not certain. Put a question mark on that man on the cross. Put a question mark on that blood flowing from his face. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all. No, they don't. They don't lose their stain because he did that for everybody. People going to hell for whom he died. You see how inconsistent it is? Looks like to me everybody just quit church. Just walk off. Your satchel preachers come to the point where they'll tell the truth and quit lying on God and tell the truth consistently and scripturally and biblically and logically and true to the character of God. I'm not going to listen anymore. I tell you, the pleasure of God shall prosper. And he said, if God loves you and God wills your salvation and Christ died for you, the Holy Spirit will call you. And when the Holy Spirit calls you, you'll be willing. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestinated, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he'll glorify. Now, what have we got to say to these things? I tell you, if God be for you, salvation's of the Lord. He cannot be defeated. God be for you, who can be against you? Now, the name, title of this message is Four Important Questions. I challenge you to order this tape for $2 and listen to it and read the word as you listen. All right, till next week, may God bless you, everyone.